Hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming to hear this talk. As usual, I have my tapes and CDs for sale. You can look at them after the share if you want to purchase some of them on marriage, child raising, or other issues. The topic of today's talk is Hakaras HaTov, Gratitude for Life. And just to describe what Hakaras HaTov is basically it's gratitude and appreciating is one of the prime leaders that has the ability to foster and strengthen relationships between husband and wife, between parents and children, friends and neighbors, and between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In general, if a person does HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, he can make his life much more enjoyable. However, in order to get the full benefits of this leader, we have to know how the Torah defines this concept, when and where to express our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is drastically different from the standard thank you that we're familiar with. This is what the Rav says in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, which says, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mitzinai. Says, why does it start off Pirkei Avos with Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mitzinai? He says, just like all the halachas are given at Torah Mitzinai, similarly the midas are given at Torah Mitzinai. So in order to know how to practice proper midas, we have to look at the Torah for a proper direction. Firstly, there's an interesting insight in Chazal of the kayach, the power of this midah of Hakaras HaTov. We know that during the time of the Neis of Purim, so the two personalities that were the Rishayim at that time were Ahasuerus and Haman. And even though Haman wanted to destroy the Jews, Chazal said Ahasuerus was a bigger Rasha than Haman. Why? Because when Haman offered Ahasuerus money to destroy the Jews, Ahasuerus was more for the money, and he says, do whatever you want. So the question that the Mufarshim asked is, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu leave Ahasuerus alive? He should have killed him together with Haman somehow. Why does Ahasuerus stay alive? So simple reason we say is because he was as foolish, the Gemara says he was the Melech Tipesh. So just like first he killed his wife and he had different whims of what to do. So hopefully afterwards everything would be over, he would also change his mind about the Eden. But the Medrash says that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved his life was because he had the need of Hakaras HaTov. And that's the start of the whole Neisah, that when he found out that Bitsa and Sheresh wanted to kill him, and he wanted to know, was anything done to Mordechai? They said, no, so bring him here. They gave him the Lufa Shmachos, and that's when the process of the miracle started. So Chazal said that because of the Midah of Hakaras HaTov, that's what Yeshua is the Klal Yisrael. That's the Kayach of the Midah of Hakaras HaTov. And vice versa, the person does not have the Midah of Hakaras HaTov, so the Chavis Lavov is right, in Shara Vodis Elohim, he says, Yerid Medregas Medavir Lebal Chai. It lowers the person's status from a human being to that of a Baal Chai, that of an animal. In other words, Hakaras HaTov is not a Maila, but it's a Derech HaChaim, a way of life. The power, and it's more, excuse me. So to begin this, about Hakaras HaTov, so I'd like to bring up the Yisod of Odessa. Odessa writes an important Yisod of foundation for understanding the meaning of Hakaras HaTov, and he says as follows. We find in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu did not do the first three makos. Dam, Tzvadei, and Kinan was given to Aaron, a Kohen. Why? So Chazal say, Rashi brings down, because he was saved by the Nile River when they threw him into the river, and when he killed the Mitzri, so the earth of Mitzriim covered over the Mitzri, so therefore he couldn't do the makos on those, because he had to smite and he had to hit them. He didn't want to, he had to be makos to the Nile River and to the earth of Mitzriim. So the question is asked, how is the Shaykh HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a domain? I mean, it's always a wall, to a stand, to water. What's Shaykh HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a domain? So I say HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, thank you, feeling gratitude. So what kind of gratitude is there for something which is inanimate? So Odessa says as follows. Odessa writes to Michtam Elio. He says that gratitude, as with all midas and character traits, is activated and generated by the emotions. Therefore, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a feeling that must be expressed towards anything and everything that benefited us. It's not for the one who benefited you to thank him, for other of it's for us, the receiver, that we have to express and feel gratitude towards whatever we received a benefit from. And therefore it applies even to a domain. And if he says, if you don't show HaKadosh Baruch Hu even to a domain, what's going to happen is it's going to become an attitude, a feeling, and it'll make the hepech, you won't even express gratitude towards the Baal Chai to a person, express to other areas of life. That's why it applies even to a domain. And this, with this we understand another important medrash, which is printed in the Mishnah to Rebbe Elazar Gadol, and it's brought down the Chai Odom, which we'll see soon in Hilchos Kibud Av Va'Em. The medrash says, "Kol ha'kayfe v'tevasi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'vsoif kayfe v'tevasi..." Excuse me. "Kol ha'kayfe v'tevasi shel chaveray, l'vsoif kayfe v'tevasi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Whoever denies a tayfe in his friend will eventually deny a tayfe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It will be marked a tayfe. Why? Because it's an attitude. If you can't be master type to your friends for doing you a favor, then you won't feel a cross type because it's welcome. And this the Chayyodim brings down, as to explain, if a person is not master type to his parents, because he says, I didn't ask to be created, so what happened to be master type to them? That's going to lead to kfira. He says, Yisach HaPiv Doi V'Shok, a very strong Lashon in Mishnah, he says, the mouth that speaks false should be closed. Why? Because that's going to lead to kfira. Because to say, what, I didn't ask to be created, so what happened to be master type to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So in other words, Hakara Tatov, between ourselves and whatever it is we see the benefit, is what we call a stepping stone for Kodesh Baruch Hu, to express the Kodesh Baruch Hu to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, with this Yisod of Rebetza, we can understand a few more interesting concepts in Hakara Tatov. First of all, the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Kama, Chamer L'sake Tivus L'more, that if somebody serves you a cup of wine, you have to be marketized to him. So the Gemara explains, the B.R. Gun, the guy explains what's taught in this Gemara. He said that even though a waiter had to serve you wine, he's paid for it, and if he doesn't serve you, he'll be fired, but nevertheless, since you benefited from him, you must be marketal to him. So even if somebody has to serve you, he has to wait on you, give you certain services, he's paid for it, you're even paying him for it, it doesn't make a difference. Since you benefited from him, you must be marketal. And that's why when a person buys something at a store or the shop, he should be marketal that the person has a shop next to him, he can buy everything in the close vicinity, he doesn't go shopping, he has the food there that he can purchase. The story tells Rabbi Charles Salanta that he once went on a train ride, and when he finished the train ride, he went over to the driver of the train, and he said, thank you for taking me here. So the man said, you're the first person in 40 years who told me thank you for driving him to his destination. So you see over here the important yourself, that you go to a doctor, that gives you a prescription, you get better, you pay the doctor, if they don't have to pay here with money, socialized medicine, but let's say you go to a private doctor, that you don't pay. Okay, but let's say you pay somebody for service. You're a doctor?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe somebody will see you privately. Okay. Or you go to a lawyer, solicitor, and you have paying good money to win a case, right? Same thing, it doesn't make a difference, but he helped you out, you must thank him afterwards, because he has to take money, or else he can't practice. If he doesn't pay, he doesn't take money, he'll be able to practice. Same thing with the shopkeeper, the doctor. And similarly, the Gemara says that even if a person had no intention to benefit the person to give you, you still have to be market type. And this Ruchayim Shel Levis learns out from the Maisa of Yosef and Ruvay. When the brothers plotted to kill Yosef, so it says, Vayishma Yosef, Vayetzivet and Miyodom. He saved them. Ruvay, excuse me. Vayishma Ruvay, Vayetzivet and Miyodom. That Ruvay saved Yosef. So now what did he hear? Why did he save him? So the Medrash says, because when Yosef said over the dream to his father, he included Ruvay with the other Shvatim. In other words, even Ruvay moved the bed after Rachel died, from Rachel's tent to his mother's tent, so it didn't make a difference. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still included him in the Shvatim. So you see from there, that even though Yosef had no intent to include Reuven into him, because he was just saying over the dream, but nevertheless, since Reuven received the benefit, they went and went out to save him from death. Moreover, the Gemara says about Rabbi Chia, whose wife made him miserable. Right? His wife made him miserable. Whenever he would order something for a meal, his wife made him just the opposite. Let's say when he came home, you call up your wife, please make me a fish dinner, so she made you a chicken dinner. She said, please make me roasted chicken, so she makes a chicken soup for you, whatever. Just the opposite of what you want. Or she makes you sandwiches, you won't even make you dinner at all. So you come home, you get angry, you're upset. But Rabbi Chia, the Gemara says that whenever he go and pass by a shop, he would find something that his wife liked, and he'd gift wrap it with a handkerchief, with a kerchief, and bring it to his wife. So imagine, right? So the Gemara says, why did he do such a thing? They asked him, what's shot? So he said, because I'm marketized to my wife, because she raised my children and she saved me from sin. Those two things are enough. So imagine, right? So when she did those things to Rabbi Chia, of course she had no intention to make his life happy. She was doing it for her own benefit to raise the children. But nevertheless, since Rabbi Chia received a benefit from it, he was marketized to an extent that he went and he purchased something. So imagine, again, the scenario, going back to the home scenario, that you asked your wife to make a certain dinner, and she didn't make it all, she just served you sandwiches, she didn't have any time to make dinner. So what do you do the next day? The next day you go to a shop and you buy her a gift. Right? She'd be stunned, wouldn't know what happened. You buy her a gift for market type. So that's what this Gemara means. Because we just receive benefits from our wife, not just for the dinner, but for everything else, we still have to be market type to our wives. Now, with this we understand how husband and wife owe each other a tremendous amount of hakaras hatov. Rabbi Aaron Feldman writes in the Sefer, Rabbi Kedlin Bird, he has a special chapter on gratitude. And he speaks about the different benefits that a husband owes his wife. And since I know here that women are also listening to it, we'll go the other way around, what the wives owe their husbands. He says, man has no greater benefactor than his wife. Even if there is little shalom bayis in the home, she is busy making her husband's life more comfortable and pleasurable. She shops, launders, straightens up the home, prepares the food. How much more so is she a benefactor to if there is shalom bayis in the house? She is the closest friend imaginable, devoted to her husband's well-being more than any other friend could ever be. Little occupies her mind as much as thoughts of what she can do for her husband and family. Her success is his success. His success is her success. His failure is her failure. She is loyal and devoted to him beyond anyone else in the world without expecting anything in return except to be appreciated and loved by your husband. Appreciate your wife. Come home and say thank you. Once Rav Volba was giving a vod for younger lights in Yeshiva in Be'er Yaakov, so he got a phone call from the wives of the younger lights. He says, next time you speak to them, please tell them that when they come home for lunch, they should say thank you for making the food. Right? Thank you for what I cooked for them. They come home from the first Seder. They all of them, if they want to eat, they want to go to sleep and go back to the second Seder. At least what they should do is say thank you for the time and effort that I prepared lunch for them. And then he continues, all duties performed by a wife in an ordinary day would do honor to a fully staffed children's clinic. How much then does one owe his wife for the years upon years of such devoted endeavors? Honestly considered, one can never fully repay the debt of gratitude due to one's wife, but at least one can just recognize them, appreciate, and how vast and vital is her benefaction. So therefore, it's important that we have to realize this, at least notice what our wives are doing, thank them when we come home. It doesn't have to be the same thank you every day. There's a different mustaf. It shouldn't be something which, as if you're putting on a show, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's a joke that I say over, which I heard from one of my rabbanim, that a woman used to make her husband every morning coffee to drink before he went to work, and he used to say thank you, and it was the same thank you again and again and again, and she was really wondering if he really appreciated the coffee that she made for him. So one day, instead of putting sugar in the coffee, she put salt in the coffee, and he drank it down and he said thank you. So obviously he wasn't really sincere. So we have to realize that we have to make it sincere. Change it. Thank you was very good. The coffee was good today. The eggs were good today. Whatever she does, you may not sitting on the table, change it around. It's kosher again. When a wife gets dressed for her husband, we should give her a compliment and appreciate the fact that she's dressing up for us when we come home. Now, for the woman also, it's important that women should realize the importance of having a husband around the house. The mere fact that the husband is there for security, that the person is there, something happens. Imagine if the husband's not there at night and there's some noises around the window, around the outside. You don't know what it is. Is it a ganav? Is it not a ganav? So they get scared, but if the husband is home, the husband is always there to take care of whatever it should be. If there's a short circuit and there's a blackout, the blackouts happen all the time. Now around the world they have blackouts. Women get scared, they're by themselves. A few months ago, I had a neighbor who had a night job. His night job was a company called IDT in Eretz Yisrael. They have new jobs where they work at night, that they're marketing at night and they're home by day. So he goes away at 7 up to 8 o'clock at night and comes back in the morning, he's out of chocolate, comes back and goes to sleep. So one night there was a blackout in the house. It was blackout 15, 20 minutes, something happened, and everything was totally black, and the wife comes to me in a panic. She doesn't know what to do. She's all by herself in a dark house. So I rigged up for an electric light, at least for my apartment, with an extension cord. Anyway, the lights went back on. But it's just appreciating the fact that there's somebody there to take care of these tough jobs. If the husband is handy, he does these little repairs, the screw gets loose, a wire is loose, sometimes there are uninvited guests in the house. A wife can wake up in the morning and there's a line of ants or a roach maybe in the house, and it's a show they have all kinds of interesting crawling objects, lizards and frogs come in the house. Right? So who takes care of that? The husband, right? He screams, what? Hope the husband's ill. No, I once woke up in the morning, and once woke up many years ago. I had an apartment, a ground floor apartment on a garden. I woke up 5 in the morning, there was a frog jumping around in my bedroom. So you can imagine what went on in the house since I got rid of him. It was cute anyway, but it's still scary to see it. The tough discipline jobs are done by the husband. Right? They can't get the children to eat, they can't get them to sleep, so the husband gets there, puts the job in there, of course, making the parnosa, paying the bills, stuffing groceries, even throwing out the garbage, right? It's difficult to throw it out, the garbage is smelly, the rubbish is smelly, go to the bin. The night shift sometimes, and the children are up at night, whether they're teething, whether they have stomach aches, or whatever, they have colic. So the husband does those jobs. So therefore, the list is endless. So if we think about the benefits and just make a list of what the husband receives from the wife and the wife receives from the husband, so we'd feel the hakaras atov and it would enhance the relationship tremendously between husband and wife. The archa tzaddikim writes that the bid of hakaras atov has the ability to enhance the love relationship between Abba, between people, between friends, between husband and wife, whatever it is. That's what hakaras atov does. So if we'd work on hakaras atov, we'd feel we'd have a better relationship with our wife. And hakaras atov doesn't mean to feel it. Hakaras atov, Rav Volbe says, means to say it. You have to verbalize it. There's an expression that was used many years ago called a cardiac Jew. A cardiac Jew is a Jew in his heart, right? You know, I'm Jew. I'm a Jew in my heart. I don't keep Shabbos, but I'm Jewish. So to feel Hakaras HaTov is not enough. We have to verbalize it. To thank the wife. Thank you very much. Thank you for this. Whatever it is, you have to think and change it every day. It shouldn't be the same rote again and again as if you're just acting it out. We have to sincerely give a thank you and appreciation whenever we see benefits from our wife. Now, why do husbands and wives find difficulty in expressing Hakaras HaTov? The answer is because each one feels they're obligated to do it. After all, it's the wife's home, it's her children. Well, the wife will say, well, the husband has to make a living. Well, he's not going to make a living. What's going to happen? He's going to abandon his children, abandon the house. They must do it. But these are just excuses. And there's no reason why not to be marketoi. And Adarab, in the light of the above, we must be marketoi, even if a person has to do something. If a person must do something, we still must be marketoi to them, even though it's your obligation. Now, other reasons, subconscious reasons why people are not marketoi, is what's called hergel. Hergel is what we call the daily routine. After we get married, we marry Baruch Hashem a few years, we start the daily routine, we forget about what everybody, each one does, of course, right after Shema Baruch says, thank you for this, thank you for that, you make a delicious chocolate, delicious chicken, delicious cookies, delicious cake, whatever it is, and the wife thanks the husband for different things, but afterwards it becomes a habit and you forget about it. So, therefore, we tend to forget. So in order to renew this, what a person should do is just make a list, a small list. There are plenty of spare moments in a person's day where they're waiting for at the track for the light, just sitting there relaxing, and during the lunch break, take a little note, a little piece of paper with you, and just write down, the kicker, some benefits that I can receive from my wife, something that I can notice. You'll see the list goes pretty much. And every day, think about it, and then from that, you'll be able to break the hurdle of not being marketed and start thinking about what she does for you. Now, another reason is because when people are makritoi, they have to be dependent. It's a type of dependency. In other words, people like to feel independent, not dependent on somebody else. Therefore, they make excuses up why not to be grateful. They have a little benefit or whatever it is. Because if I'm makritoi to somebody, it means I'm dependent on them. So therefore, it's important that we should realize that it's not so. That even though that this is just a feeling of gaiva, and we should still be working on our hakaras hatov. There's an expression, you don't appreciate something until it's gone. Right? When it's gone, then you appreciate something. A person doesn't realize what he has when he can speak. So when he gets a sore throat or a horse throat and he can't speak for 2 or 3 days, and he's whispering and struggling to speak, he realizes what the power of speech is. A person wakes up and his foot hurts or his neck hurts the whole day, he realizes it is that he can function during the day. So you don't realize something you appreciate until it's gone. So, okay, the wife is gone for a few days. Let's say she's giving birth, or she has to go away on a journey someplace to take care of a relative, a summer vacation. The husband's alone in the house. So what does the house look like? An old dormitory room. Things are just thrown in different places. You're living on sandwiches. And the dishes are not washed. The laundry's not taken care of. Nothing's folded properly. So, again, if you and the same thing with the wife. When the husband goes, has to go away. So the wife also feels that sometimes feeling just incurious. She misses her husband and calls him 3 or 4 times a day to make sure that everything's okay with her. So the bottom line is that we have to realize while we still have the benefits to work on the mitzvah of hakaras hatov. And finally, just to add off with the Stipler Rav on this note of marriage, the Stipler Rav writes that hakaras hatov gogol between husband and wife ain't sheer. Ain't sheer the hakaras hatov that a husband owes the wife and the wife owns the husband. Think of all the benefits that you mentioned and therefore then you realize the magnitude that what the hakaras hatov owes to somebody to one spouse. Now the next thing is hakaras hatov to parents. The soda, now, we're not talking about little children, we're talking about adults here also. Whoever has parents, that may have asked them, we have to realize a tremendous amount of hakaras hatov we owe them. The soda of hakaras hatov to parents is brought down the Chaya Adam in the Chinuch. The Chinuch writes in the midst of Kibud Av V'Em that Sheheviyu La'olam. We owe them hakaras hatov because they brought us into the world. V'Shehem Agarim L'Kiyumai. And they caused our kingdom, they caused our existence in the world. And they worked so much for us when we were small. The amount of a curse still we owe to the parents, the Chai Adam says, is the Ein Shir. We have to constantly think about how much we do owe them. And nothing should be too small to do something for our parents. And he says, if you're not makir to your parents, the person doesn't honor them properly, he says, he's a kofli toy. And he used the pasuk, which the Mishnah says in Perek Yavais, leiva rasha v'lo yishale. It's like somebody does not repay his debt. The person doesn't give the proper karas at all to his parents, he doesn't repay his debt that he owes the parents. Might it's impossible to repay for everything that they gave to us. Anybody who's a parent here knows that whatever we invest in the children, it's impossible for a child to pay back the parents. So the least you can do is try our best. Try to be marketable to do things for them. And to try and help them in any way. There's an interesting story told of a Rav who was davening Maariv at night. And afterwards, after Maariv, the late minion, let's say the latest minion here is about 11 o'clock, 10:30. So after the late minion, he's going home. And a friend of his asked that we'd like to lift home. He says, no, I'm going to my parents. He says, you're going to your parents? He says, yeah, I'm going to my parents. What are you going to your parents? That's all late at night, you're elderly people. He says, well, my parents need help during the day, and I'm very busy. I work during the day, I come home, I help my family, that I have my students to learning, that I've been somewhere. And then when all my affairs are settled, then I go to my parents to help them out late at night, and I tell what they have to do, put them to sleep, and take care of the home. You know, the chule, and just everything should be okay. So the guy says, wow, that's very praiseworthy of you, going so late at night to help your parents. So he says, you do this once a week? How often do you go to them? He says, no, I do it every night. He says, every night? You go every night to your parents so late? He says, yes, but they're my parents. He didn't understand why a person can't understand that a person could go every night to take care of his parents at such a late hour. There shouldn't be anything that's too small, right, or too big to do for a parent whenever they need it, and whatever they need, because the parents never did that when the child was small. Imagine if you were children, your baby's in the crib, and you're getting up a few times at night. I don't have time for you. I have a minion tomorrow. The wife has a job tomorrow. Take care of yourself. You're crying. Try yourself to sleep. Here's a bottle. Take the bottle and try and hold it yourself. There's no such thing. A child had to be taken to the doctor at a certain time. There's no such thing that the parents should say, I don't have time for you today to go to the doctor. I have other appointments. The child has to be tended to. The doctor, the dentist, whatever it is. So the parents always had time and the energy and the ability to take care of the child. Therefore, the child has to do the utmost to do the same for the parent, to take care of the parent, right, and whenever they need something. And that's to be the bakar satol that we owe to our parents. What we do have to do for our parents, even though in Shulchan Aruch it says the midst of kibud av v'em is only five or six things, to give them food, to drink, take in and out. But the Ramah says that we should serve our parents in any way that an eved serves his other, a servant serves his master. So therefore we have to find ways of doing things for our parents. Sometimes the parents will ask you for something which they can do themselves. Please get me a cup. They write by the thing. But if you get the cup, you get a mitzvah of kibud av v'em. So every time you do something to the parents, another mitzvah in the mitzvah bank of kibud av v'em. It brings a richas yom, it brings a good life, it brings a long life. It says, we're all familiar with the pasuk in the first of the Aseret HaDibra, it says that the person gets a richas yom from kibud av v'em. But in the second of the Aseret HaDibra, it says, ma'itav l'cha, you'll have a good life. Not only will you have a long life, but you'll have a good life also. Today people are trying to combat all the diseases of old age that people, you know, just debilitate. But the Torah's prescription for this is to practice the mitzvah of kibud av v'em. And the last thing is owing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person doesn't realize what he has until Chas V'Shalom, a person is not well, he goes to a hospital. So many benefits we have on a daily basis that we receive from Hashem, that we're happy and we're healthy, that there shouldn't be anything that we should try and improve ourselves and feel at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chafetz, sometimes people say, well, I don't have this, I have difficulties with Parnosa, I have difficulties with something else, I'd like a better car, a better house, or something else. The Chafetz Chaim says that if a person wants to be happy in life, he has to appreciate what he has, not look what he doesn't have. If a person looks what they don't have, is the aim of the Avasai. Always is something you're missing, there's always somebody better than you. So therefore, appreciate what you have. When a person gets up in the morning, says, Moida'ani, he's able to get up, he's able to breathe, he's able to walk. All the brachas, the birchas, the shachar, he can move his legs. He gets up. He doesn't have a strained back. The person should think, Baruch Hashem, I have it. The Rav Tam tells over an interesting story how a person just could appreciate a very simple act that we forget about. Well, a chassid once went over to a Rebbe, and he told his Rebbe that he had a terrible attack of insomnia the night before, and he can't function. He doesn't know what to do. How is he going to function today? So the Rebbe says, what are you complaining about? He says, the other day I went to a hospital, I had to visit somebody, and the person couldn't move. And the hospital attendants, the nurses, had to turn him from side to side so he shouldn't get bed sores. And you're complaining that you can turn from side to side without being tended to? That's what your complaint is about. Good, he can't sleep, but at least he can move. The person has a headache, a migraine headache. Baruch Hashem has a head on his head. He can feel it. He's not sick in the hospital. Even if a child gets sick in the home, but Baruch Hashem, it's in the home and it's not in the hospital. There's not to stop at the hospital and wait there for all the procedures of doing things. So whatever a person has, he can always be thankful to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And a person doesn't realize it until, if a person wants to do it, he just goes to a sick ward in the hospital. I just spoke to somebody the other day who had to attend to a sick relative in the hospital in the States. He said once he spends the time there, he's not going to complain about anything. Just have to go to one ward of a sick ward, to go to a geriatric ward, but certainly you won't complain about anything. But people never suffer from different things, simple things, young people, old people, doesn't make difference, children, babies, infants, and the person is happy, is healthy, and their family is healthy, they can breathe and they can walk around, you have to not keep thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for it. Now I just want to end off with a little anecdote that somebody sent to me before I came, about somebody who had a dream and he went to Shemayim. So he went to Shemayim, and the Malach was showing him around. So he went to a few rooms, and the first room he saw a lot of Malachim being busy, doing things. So he says, what are they doing in this room? He says, they're receiving all the tefillos to a Kadosh Baruch Hu to try and sort them out what people need. So he went to a different area, and he said, what are these Malachim doing? He said, well, once they sort it out, they bring them to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? They want the Kadosh Baruch Hu to answer the tefillos, so they bring it to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then he went to a third room, also a bunch of busy angel malachim, and he said, this is the packaging and delivering section. They package all what the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them, the brachas, and they send it back to the world, to the earth, the next one. And so then everybody was busy with the tefillahs, packing and sending brachas and the yeshuas, whatever. Finally he goes to the end of the room, and he sees one room, there's nobody there. One malach there, sitting there, you know, say the computer, whatever it is, our computer in Shemai, sitting there, he's not too busy, he's writing here and there. He says, what happened over here? He says, who are you? Well, he says, I have nothing to do, he says. What's wrong? Why don't they have anything to do? He says, I am the one who receives the thank you from the people after they receive the prophet. He says, and just wait, the people come and thank you. How much do you acknowledge that God is broke over thanking me? So he says, well, how should they thank you? Just say thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that I got the bracha, that I'm alive. Just say a few words during the day, have kavana, and I'm receiving it. He's not receiving anything. So therefore, we learn from this that a person has to constantly be thankful both to his wife, be thankful to his parents, to enhance our relationships with our wives, certainly to people who receive any benefit from them, and afterwards, eventually, to thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. When we say the brachas, any brachas I do of Shvat, whether it's brach, we say Moed Ani, just think about it. Baruch Hashem, you return my neshama to me. And everything else that we do, we walk, we can breathe, take care of you, go out of the shul here, take a deep breath. Ah, I can breathe, Baruch Hashem, I'm able to walk, I'm able to breathe, I'm able to talk, I can speak to somebody normally. And that way, Baruch Hashem, hopefully you have a happier and healthier life. Thank you very much.